Lord's Hill Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Good morning, family, once again. And I greet you again in the name of Jesus. Isn't he wonderful? So we begin our sermon series today titled, Why Should She Be Here? Which, as we heard earlier, looks at five key women in Jesus's genealogy. And today we're looking at Tamar. And there are two women called Tamar in the genealogy of Jesus. The first is mentioned in Genesis 38. And we learn very early on in the chapter that Tamar is the widow of Ur and Onan, sons of Judah. And the second Tamar was the sister of Absalom and daughter of King David, who we read about in 2 Samuel. And both women named Tamar have they're unique women with unusual and moving stories. But for today, we're looking at Tamar in 2 Samuel chapter 13. So have you ever read a story that brings out such a powerful emotion in you? That's how I feel about this story. It's a disturbing read. Reading it as a woman and also as a mother, it's one of those stories that's very difficult to read and come to terms with. And yet, we have to acknowledge it. As sensitive as the subject matter is, we have to acknowledge that it is indeed the Word of God. And that's the thing about the Word of God, it's the whole truth. And sometimes the truth is good, and sometimes it isn't easy to take and to hear. But today we have the opportunity by His grace to look at this story in the mirror and understand what it means for us today. So as it was read to us earlier, the story starts by us understanding that Amnon, son of David, is in love with Tamar, who is his half-sister. Much is his obsession that he makes himself ill. His advisor, also his cousin, Jonadab, sees he isn't himself, asks what's the matter, and Amnon tells him that he is in love with Tamar. And Jonadab tells him to pretend to be sick and to ask for Tamar to visit him. So 2 Samuel 13, verses 6 to 7 says, "So Amnon lay down and pretended to be ill. When the king came to see him, Amnon said to him, 'I would like my sister Tamar to come and make some special bread in my sight so that I might eat from her hand.' David sent word to Tamar at the palace, 'Go to the house of your brother Amnon and prepare some food for him.' So Tamar went to the house of her brother Amnon, who was lying down. She took some dough, kneaded it, and made the bread in his sight and baked it. Then she took the pan and served him the bread, but he refused to eat." We then go on to read that Amnon abuses the situation by asking everyone else to leave. And then he asks Tamar to go to bed with him. And when she says no, he forces her. 2 Samuel 13, verses 15 to 19. "Then Amnon hated her with intense hatred. In fact, he hated her more than he had loved her. Amnon said to her, 'Get up and get out.' 'No,' she said to him, 'sending me away would be a greater wrong than what you have done to me already.' But he refused to listen to her. He called his personal servant and said, 'Get this woman out of my sight,' and bolt the door after her. So his servant put her out and bolted the door. She was wearing an ornate robe, for this was the kind of garment the virgin daughters of the king wore. Tamar put ashes on her head and tore the ornate robe she was wearing. She put her hands on her head and went away, weeping aloud as she went." So what can we say from here? What can we learn from here? Sorry. The unfortunate fact about Tamar's story is that it repeats itself even today. One only has to look at the Me Too social justice movement, which started around 2006 and was pioneered to stand against sexual abuse and harassment. A number of these alleged crimes that they have talked about have often been made public. And the movement is about empowering women through solidarity by showing how women have survived this type of assault, whether at home or in the workplace, etc., etc. And their aim is to bring about a change to society for women, especially young and vulnerable women, to stand up and to speak out on their trauma. The Bible tells us in Mark 4, verse 22, "For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret but that it should come to light." I won't go into specifics, but we've seen in the media cases, abuse cases, that have been brought to light from decades gone. And as children of God, we need to stay alert to the schemes of the enemy. And where injustice and abuse exists, we need to actively stand against it. One immediate takeaway from Tamar's story is it is in his word. It's in God's word. Therefore, God sees it all. Every evil work, every abuse, every violation, every unjust crime. He does not stay silent on these things, and evil will be punished. And we must continue to pray that every victim sees justice and that those who have been hurt can find freedom, peace, and rest in Jesus. Amen. I believe we also need to look deeper into the story of Tamar to further unpick the lesson for us here and now, and to answer the question, why should Tamar be here? So firstly, where do we see ourselves in this story? Where do we see others that we know? And what is God saying to you this morning? And what is he saying to me this morning? So let's pull out some of the key characters in this story to see where he is leading us. And if you haven't already, please do have this chapter in front of you as we dive in. So let me start by saying we have all fallen short of the glory of God, as Romans 23 tells us. So looking at the key characters, let's look at Amnon, David's firstborn son, and presumably at the start at which we read this chapter, he's the heir to the throne of Israel. But the thing about Amnon was that he was obsessed with his half-sister Tamar, who we read is beautiful and a virgin. And Amnon lusted for her. He knew it wasn't right and that it was impossible for him to have that kind of relationship with her. He knew it was forbidden. So are you around someone like Amnon, someone who is concerned with sin and pursuing things that aren't right, someone who is willing to go to lengths, whatever it takes, to get what they want, even if it means breaking the law or hurting another person to do so? Or is there something that you're concerned with, dare I say it, obsessed by, that shouldn't concern you, that shouldn't be a focus for you? In other words, is not good for you and is not what God has called you into. Temptation happens. We know that even Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, but he stood up to the enemy and he overcame it. A quick sidestep into the New Testament and the book of James, James chapter 1, verses 12 to 16. "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my dear brothers. We must not be deceived, but remain steadfast in our faith when temptation knocks. The Bible calls us to focus on our faith. That also means being accountable to God and also to others. When sin tries to creep in, we must seek God and also connect with someone we can be accountable to, someone who also follows Jesus and that we can trust, someone we can call on and talk to and pray with. We read that after he had abused Tamar, Amnon hated her. Scripture tells us this. Amnon said to her, "Get up and get out," obviously realizing what he had done. And that's the dangerous thing about lust. It is short-lived. It's a secret sin and one that we need to guard against. Then we have Jonadab. Where do I even begin with Jonadab? You know, when I look at his actions, I see a grenade. You know, Jonadab is Amnon's advisor and cousin. And yeah, I just picture this grenade when I read what he did. You know, like you see in those action films, in those army films, someone throws a grenade, a soldier throws a grenade, and everyone gets out of the way and ducks for cover. But it's like here, Jonadab threw Amnon the grenade, a deceitful plot for Amnon to use. And Amnon, blinded by his lust, catches it like he was playing catch. And the grenade blows up in his hands, and we see that disaster follows. Thing about Jonadab is he isn't just like one of those bad friends or family members who sometimes give you bad advice, like, "I know you've grown your hair, but you should cut it." Or, "I know you want to buy those shoes that are £50, but if you buy that bag too, I know it's another 50, but it will be worth it." And you end up regretting listening to that person. No, Jonadab isn't that sort of person. Jonadab is described in Scripture as a very shrewd man in 2 Samuel 13, verse 3. And when I looked at the definition of shrewd, you know, shrewd has a negative connotation. It's usually used to describe someone who is sharp and intelligent, but potentially underhanded at the same time. So basically, someone who is sly, someone who has a scheming plan. And we see this continue further on in the chapter after the incident with Tamar, where Jonadab reports to King David that Amnon has been killed by his brother Absalom, further on in verse 32. So Absalom, Tamar's brother, is so angry at his sister being disgraced that he sends men to kill him in 2 Samuel 13, 23 to 32. So he invites all of his brothers, including Amnon, to a sheep shearing fest, which was seen as this grand occasion in the east. And Absalom proposed to give such entertainment at his residence. And he first invites the king to his court, but the king declines. And then Absalom then extends the invitation to the king's sons, which David agrees to, clearly in the hope that this might, you know, form some sort of brotherly harmony and union. But Absalom commands his servants to kill his brother. And when this happens, word gets to King David that all of his sons are dead. But it's Jonadab who then steps in to clarify the situation. In verse 32, it says, "But Jonadab, son of Shimeah, David's brother, said, 'My lord should not think that they killed all the princes. Only Amnon is dead. This has been Absalom's express intention ever since the day Amnon raped his sister Tamar. My lord the king should not be concerned about the report that all the king's sons are dead. Only Amnon is dead.'" Jonadab, I feel, says this in a way that, you know, as if he didn't have any part to play in what happened, you know? Maybe you know someone like him who, for whatever reason, steers situations for their own bad intention, to ruin something or to ruin someone. Or maybe you find yourself in a place where you have a bit of Jonadab in you, or had that situation you manipulated to get an outcome. Scripture tells us that the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. And it would be fair to say to assume that Jonadab's aim is to ruin this family. He personifies this desire to destroy, and we must pray and put on the full armor of God to stand against the enemy's schemes, to use us in this way. Next, we have David, King David. Unaware of Amnon's lust, he innocently places his daughter in a situation that causes her to eventually become an outcast. The Bible tells us that he was angry after the incident. 2 Samuel 13, verse 21-22. When King David heard all of this, he was furious. When I read about David in this chapter, I sigh. You know, David, after finding out what Amnon had done, probably put the pieces together, realizing he had asked Tamar to visit her brother. He had granted Amnon's request. But is it enough to just be angry? You know, the Bible tells us that he was furious when he heard. But we have no record of David punishing or even reprimanding Amnon. So we don't read or see how David intervened when he found out, A, what had happened, and also when Absalom kills his brother. Verses 37 and 38 read, Absalom fled and went to Talmai, son of Ammihud, the king of Geshur, but King David mourned many days for his son. After Absalom fled and went to Geshur, he stayed there 3 years, and King David longed to go to Absalom, for he was consoled concerning Amnon's death. So after killing his brother, Absalom flees. Looking at King David in this, I think what we can take from it is that where sin exists, we have a duty to address it. And maybe this is speaking to you this morning. Could it be time to talk or to address something that is happening around you, that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you about? Or, like David is likely to have felt, do you feel that your actions have affected somebody in a way that had left you feeling the load? Are you feeling guilty about it, unhappy and burdened? And in the middle of all of this, we have Tamar. Tamar, daughter of King David. Let's just sit with that for a minute. She must have held rank. She was a princess, right? Presumably, she would have had servants, maids, and cooks at her disposal even. But when her dad asked her to go and cook for her quote-unquote sick brother, she could have been like, nah, fam, you know, if this was today, I'm too busy. I'm staying in my quarters. I'm going to send my cook to him. I'm going to sit here and enjoy the finer things of life. But no. That's what we see about Tamar. She cared, and she didn't think that she was above serving. So she went to her brother's house to make him a meal, and she didn't see her brother's plot. She was oblivious. And even when it was too late, she pleaded with Amnon. She knew that what he wanted to do was wrong, and she knew what this would mean for her life, but also for Amnon. Verses 12 to 14. Don't force me. Such a thing should not be done in Israel. Don't do this wicked thing. What about me? Where could I get rid of my disgrace? And what about you? You would be like one of those wicked fools in Israel. Please speak to the king. He will not keep me from being married to you. but he refused to listen to her. And after this, she is violated. After she's violated, she begs Amnon to let her stay, as she knows that this now means that she is disgraced. And she also knew that this is now dangerous territory, for Amnon. She considered and she cared for her half-brother's life and future even after he had abused her. Wow. Wow. Tamar, we read, becomes a desolate woman, an outcast, and goes to live with her other brother, Absalom. Although she would not have been able to marry and have children, she would have been safe in her brother's house, be fair to say. She was also honored later on in the book of Samuel. We read that Absalom names his daughter after her. But maybe like Tamar, you've had not one, but two or three people or situations throw you into a space where you feel like you're on your own, an outcast, or your life has changed in a way that you have no control over. Perhaps you feel you have been let down because of the sin of others, and like you don't deserve to be happy and living the abundant life Jesus has promised you. Tamar's story shows us that indeed everyone sins, but God is still good. Through Jesus Christ, we can all seek forgiveness for our sins, and we can all forgive others. Bad things do happen to good people, and yet God is still good to us. We need to understand that God has a plan for our lives, and he has decided to extend his mercy and his grace towards us. Remember, Jesus came to do the will of the Father and to save sinners, to call us as sinners to repentance. He tells us that we must forgive. So to get up from feeling let down in this way, however hard it may be, requires forgiveness for others and also for yourself. Secondly, as we learn indirectly from the story of Tamar, is that she was a victim of lust and not love. And it is the love of God that lifts us and helps us to lift others who face similar challenges. The Bible tells us that God does not like it when we're hurt and when we're taken advantage of. He loves us and wants the best for us. But perhaps you're thinking it's not so easy to see this in her story. Tamar's story ends abruptly and we don't hear about her after this. So you may be thinking, where was God in the story? Well, through the story of Tamar, we see that God is indeed a just God. He shows us this painful incident to encourage us in our trials, to encourage us to stand up to evil and to pursue justice and what is right. Through Tamar's story, in the context of today, we acknowledge that we still live in a broken world. And as followers of Christ, we need to be on our guard against the enemy and those who seek to disrespect what should be respected and abuse what should be loved. We should be the salt and light God asks us to be. So, why should Tamar be here? As a daughter of David, she is in the genealogy of Jesus. Who'd have thought it? An outcast subjected to the sin of man has been pulled out and set apart as a relation to the Most High King and Saviour of the earth. In this way, Tamar's story powerfully gives glory to God, and that is why she is here and in his word. Tamar, yes, in the pursuit of kindness, became a victim of abuse and lived as an outcast. But her story encourages us all to flee from sin and to approach the throne of glory. So all is not lost. Finally, the story reminds us that Jesus is our only and true hope. We can truly say that whatever our trials, it is well. And that we must seek his forgiveness for ourselves and for others, and repent for our sins to continue to bring glory to his name and to live the life he has called us all into. Amen.
We trust that you have been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you have heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.